With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's pain-free Friday. Rolling out minutes on the marketing, waxing it up, 100, 200, the bad state of record, ain't a bad apple with a bad attitude. We are live in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, direct and traveling, some kind of fucking trigger. Along with the Tutty and Tater King himself, the founder of the ILC podcast, the rights holder of the Sheet of Integrity, and the Put It With The Golf guru, headed to Cromwell, Connecticut for a Saturday of TBC River Highlands and the Travelers Insurance Open. It's Carver High this afternoon. Mafia's running it along with Luke Amilfala. The rundown on a Friday, we got a double shot with Morenci and a double shot with Adam Kaplan later in the coup de grace hour, the final hour of love to wrap the week up. We've got Brian Daboll at Wrigley, the businessman special. Rumor has it that our guy Cal Raleigh with number 28, a shot at Wrigley for the Mariners today. We've got the Travelers going on. We've got a Game 7 Sunday night of the NBA Finals. Unbelievable. The Pacers got it done last night at the Fieldhouse in Naptown. And Pharrell hitting TJ McConnell at 12 points on the number. Over 10.5. I said he'll have 12. Boom. Pharrell with the under 2, 21.5. Boom. Pharrell with the 6.5 Pacers. Boom. How do you like me now, ladies?
Yeah, really good night for you with the Pacer game, which we'll talk about in a moment. But I will give you what's happening now.
Whoa.
First, on a happy Friday.
Yes, sir.
We love summer Fridays, right? Like, it's now summer Fridays.
Yeah, I like being at the beach.
Ahead. You got like 8 of them left, or 8 or 9 of them until NFL Fridays start again for you. So you're getting close here. Once the summer Fridays start to kick in.
Two hospitals and
the pool. That's not good.
I had two hospitals today and the pool. I had to deal with the heart people again and the sleep people again and acid reflux people again and x-rays. And then I said, I need to go to the pool to look at chicks in bikinis. So I did that as well for an hour. I slipped it in. Luke told me I needed a nap. He said, you look beat up. Go lay down. And so I did. Oh,
nice. Good job by you. All right. Here's what's going on right now. The businessman special. Little Friday afternoon in the bleachers at Wrigley with the Mariners in town. And yes, the wind is blowing out today at Wrigley. A little bit out to left center field. And it got started early. You mentioned the big dumper, Cal Raleigh. 28th home run in the top of the first for the Mariners. The Cubs would get three back in the bottom of the first, including a homer from Ian Happ to lead things off. So already a couple of taters out there. I mean, we wouldn't mind if maybe Dansby Swanson wanted to hit a homer.
Like a little Dansby on a Friday.
A little Dansby, maybe even Maybe Pete Crow. If Pete Crow wants the Crow can fly. Everyone mind that either. But bottom three, 3-1 Cubbies right now out at the Businessman Special. As far as the Travelers goes, Cromwell, Connecticut.
Whoa.
Beautiful day. I mean, the wind's blowing. And it was a little tough, pretty tough for these guys today, Scotty. Not like yesterday where they were lighting the course on fire. In fact, even your boy Scotty Scheffler, only one under today. He just went into the clubhouse. He had a double bogey on 17. He's plus three on that hole now over the first 2 days. He is tied for the lead. Justin Thomas did get hot today.
JT.
He shot a 6-under, now 9-under in the clubhouse. So Thomas and Scheffler tied for first. Bunch of guys at 7 now. Dangerous Denny McCarthy had a big round today. Nick the Dentist Taylor at 7-under now as he's through 16. Austin Eckrode, who shared the lead with Scheffler yesterday, he's plus 1 through 10. He has dropped down, and we have some of our guys lurking. Cantlay at 5-under. Cameron Forever Young at 5-under. Keegan Bradley having a tough day. Rory plus 3 today. He's dropped down to minus 3 for the tournament. So, great day out at Cromwell. We will have our eyes on it continuing through this second round. And, yes, I'll be in attendance tomorrow. Very early, I plan on getting there. I'm going to get there for some of the early action.
A really nice time. It's going to be 100 degrees there.
Yeah, it's going to be hot. But I do have some access to some shaded areas at some points if I want to. So we'll mix in a little walking around and hanging out by that 18
degree. The liquor tent and the shrimp cocktail tent and the PGA shopping tent. You go in the air-conditioned tents and get your swerve on, Carver High.
The funniest thing is, this is, I guess, my third or fourth year in a row going there, and I've never been in the merchandise tent any of the times that I've gone, because I usually get there a little late, and I run in, I want to start watching. I'm making it a point to get there early tomorrow to go into the merchandise tent before I go into the course. And every time I'm leaving, at the end of the day, like, everybody's going in the merch tent when they're leaving the place. So I'm going to go try hit it early before I even go in so I can maybe get some swag, some Travelers Championship swag with the umbrellas going. Need to have it. All right, so that's what we'll be watching all that today. You also mentioned we'll have a game 7 on Sunday night in the NBA Finals.
Best two words in sports.
Best words in sports. Game 7. Only the 20th in NBA Finals history. First time we're having it since 2016, a Game 7 in the NBA Finals. So they'll be at the Paycom at OKC. Thunder and Pacers. Pacers whacked them last night. Huge run in the second quarter, and they never looked back. Hey, no matter what happens on Sunday night, we got a hell of a lot more out of this series than people thought they were going to get. Having a seventh game between the Thunder and the Pacers.
It's just a great series, and they kicked their ass last night. They got up 31. The Thunder quit. They threw in the towel. All their starters got yanked. Siakam, 16. Naismith had 10, which I thought was relatively impressive. 10, 2, and 3. Two threes. Turner, I thought, was terrible. Halliburton, for his injured calf, I thought gave him 3 threes and 14 points. I'll take it every time, 5 dimes. I thought the key to the game was twofold. Nebhard went from 7 to 17. He went up 10 points. He had 4 assists. He hit 3 threes. He only had 1 turnover. Remember, in game 5, he had 4 turnovers, including 3 in the final 6 minutes, which I think cost him the game. So I thought his performance was phenomenal. 5 of 7 from the floor, 3 of 5 from downtown. Obi-Wan Kenobi with a 20-burger. And I thought TJ McConnell was absolutely absurd. 12 points, 9 rebounds, 6 dimes, 6 of 12 from the floor. You have to understand, this guy is 6'1" on a good day. And he had 9 rebounds. He is simply outplaying, outworking, out-hustling everyone on the floor. He also had 4 steals again. The guy is a savage. Can we get this white boy a raise? a white boy from Indiana. It sounds like Larry Bird all over again, except he's 6'1", the little muffin.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can get Sports Rage weeknights at 10 on all of our TV and radio outlets. We get Morenci for a double shot every day from Vancouver on C2C. Thank God for that. I'm rubbing salt in the wounds of the public today, Gabe, because I hit everything last night with the Pacers to win the 6.5, the under 221.5. The public was 95% on the over. And I was sitting there watching a game, and it was 53 after one. Then at the half, I was up 4 because I was on a 55 per quarter trying to keep it that clip, right? And then the first 4 minutes, basically, of the second half, no one scored. And I started counting money with my tongue. And I mean to tell you, they got it done and kept it under and forced to game 7. It was unbelievable. It was a good night for tickets. It was a good night for the Pacers, for sure. I hit that McConnell over 10.5. I said he'd have 12. He had 12. I thought his play and rebounding and dimes and steals were sickening. I think Siakam and TJ McConnell have been the two best players for the Pacers in the whole series.
If the Pacers win, and that's a big if, but if they do, Pascal Siakam's going to be the MVP, which I think a lot of people would have thought was crazy. I mean, he won the MVP in the Eastern Conference Finals, and that was more debatable, but he's been the most consistent player. He's got a nice streak going right now, Scott, too. I think he's up to like 17 playoff games in a row with 15 or more points. It's pretty, you know what I mean? Like, he just sort of chips away this guy.
Yeah.
I've always said that Siakam's not a superstar. I know people talking about, oh, is Halliburton a superstar? Halliburton's not even the best player on the Pacers. So don't talk to me about, like, being a superstar. You know, Halliburton's an up-and-coming star player. Siakam's a star. He's not a superstar. He's not the guy, oh, get the ball to Siakam, man, with 20 seconds left. He's not that guy. What he is he's going to show up every damn night, Scott. And I swear, I know this guy inside out. I'm a big fan of his. I mean, this guy eats 23, 8, and 5 for breakfast, Scott. That's his thing. You know what I mean?
I know.
Listen, I'll give you 23 points. I'll give you, like, 8 rebounds. And I'll give you, like, 5 assists. And people won't talk about it because I'm from Cameroon. And I don't talk to any. You know, I'm not a flashy dude. He's never gotten the credit. He's been picked on a lot, actually. There's an element of racism in the NBA, guys, of like American brothers versus like the African dudes. And there's all kinds of different layers of this stuff. And he's never played any of these games, you know? So he's a different type of dude. Like, he doesn't have a ton of buddies in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? We'll put it that
rings.
Way.
He got a ring.
He's got rings.
He might get another one. And, I got to ask you, do you think that Turner is losing money because he's a free agent, I believe, and I think he's played terribly?
Turner is interesting, Scott. Listen, I think Turner, one of the modern kind of NBA guys that lives outside too much, despite his size, right? Hits threes. He should be in the paint more. You can tell with Turner early in the game, Scott, when he does his little turnaround move in the paint, and you can tell right away. It's either a brick, or if it goes in, he starts to roll. Like Turner, if he doesn't hit early shots, he's not one of these guys that are going to start coming. He just won't play well after. If he plays well early.
Like last
Yeah, the Pacers as a whole are a lot like that. Halliburton, like if Halliburton doesn't attack early in games, he disappears. Like he doesn't. Right? Like he has a hard time, you know, integrating himself into the game, it seems, Halliburton at times. Last night he was super aggressive. Every time Halliburton and Siakam are aggressive, and I saw Siakam talking about this, Scott, saying that, you know, we need to be aggressive in the first minutes of the game, and I tell the guys this, and you know it, you see this. I remember when the Raptors won with Siakam, it was game 6 against the Warriors. Scott, the Raptors were up like 23-6, bro. And it mattered. You know what I mean? It was like, we're not losing this game. We're winning tonight. And we're going to be up 30-10 after the first quarter. And we're going to make them play from behind all night. And they did. Teams have a hard time getting that killer instinct. You and I talked about it. Like, you like the Pacers. I like the Pacers last night. I don't think the Oklahoma City Thunder are the type of team that like had that killer instinct to go on the road with the trophy in the building. Hell, we saw the Florida Panthers that took them 4 cracks last year. Okay. Like, it's not easy. Like, when you get into the trophies in the building, and my girlfriend's here, and my family's here, and my high school coach is here, and what hotel are we going to for the party after? And I got to tell my wife. All that stuff becomes like a distraction for teams. I think going back home, and I was on the Pacers last night, Scott, but I like seeing this point spread drop right now for Game 7. So this is the 20th Game 7, which is pretty cool, a little bit of history here. 20th Game 7 in NBA Finals history. The home team is 14-5, right? You know, history says the home team is going to win. And we see, Scott, the Thunder are completely different teams, like, on the road when they are at home, right? They're literally 5-5 on the road, guys, in the playoffs. So they split their road games, and what are they, 11-2 now? So they're gunning for their one more. Go 12-2 and wrap this up.
Is it still at 8.5?
Down to 7.5 now. That's what I was going to say, coming down. Whoa. I think that. What do you think? I think the Thunder are going to win on Sunday. They're gonna get it done at home.
Yeah, I do too. I think they're going to get it done, and you know, I've heard some people think it's going to be a down to the wire, great game. I'm not so sure about that. I really, you know, I think they're lethal in that building, and that crowd stands the entire game. And if they get going, so I don't think J-Dub's going to have a 16 again. From 40 to 16 was a huge drop. I think he's going to go off. I think Shea's going to go off. Caruso had no points in that game last night. Zero, the donut. There's no way defensive energy on Sunday night.
Last night either. They didn't have their same just sort of swag.
They quit.
Yeah. They quit. That, you know, that's one thing I didn't like about it, Scott. And I get it. You know, maybe it's because I'm betting on it and stuff. And, you know, I did have the over, so you could call for you with the under. But my deal is, it's like, okay, you're down at the half by like 22. The game's not over yet. Like, the Pacers have come back a ton of times on us, like down 15, 6. Like, they showed, you know, some, you know, resiliency. Like you said, Scott, they didn't score for the first like 5-6 minutes of the third quarter. And they just decided, you know what? Back to Oklahoma City we go. You know, point blank, they just tapped out, which is a dangerous game to play. But there's no such thing as momentum in sports in the playoffs, right? One game to the next game means nothing. So I think Oklahoma City will be ready to go Sunday.
So we'll check the CFL from last night and talk about the soccer and everything else going on in baseball this weekend with Morenci coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Morenci has converted me into a CFL fan. It only took my entire life to do it. He's known me for 30 years, and it took him 30 years, but I'm now watching CFL games on the reg. And last night, Montreal was a winner, and they covered the 6.5. And tomorrow night, I've got my plans set in stone, 7:00 Eastern. It's the my team, the Lions, against the Bombers. It's BC hosting Farrelipeg tomorrow night at the that plush BC place. What do they call that place again?
BC place.
Yeah, so that's where the game is. And what's the spread in that game? And how did Montreal look last night? They put up a lot of points.
Listen, the CFL season's a long season. They play 18 games. It's too long. They're going to do it in the NFL. Trust me, guys, it's too long, right? When you play 18 games, the sense of urgency goes away, right? Like, if you're playing this, remember in the old days, there were 14 games in the old days when we were kids, but 16 games we all sort of grew up with the NFL. You know, if you were like 2-4, it's like, man, we're in a lot of trouble, right? Or you're 2-5 or something, your season's slipping away. 18-game season, it's like, ah, whatever, dude. Yeah, we're 2-4, but we still have 12 games left. And, man, I knew this was coming. And so, just quickly, Scott.
Flamengo.
Flamengo goal against Chelsea.
I know.
I swear, thought this game was going to be a draw, and it was 1-0 Chelsea. Scott, when this FIFA World Cup, this is good for all you bettors out there, and I'm all over this stuff. Dude, teams from Argentina and Brazil have not lost in this tournament, Scott. Brazil are lighting it up. Every Brazilian team has not lost. They've won. The Argentinians have either won, like Boca and River Plate either won or drew. these Brazilian guys, it's up to six right now. So the teams from Brazil and Argentina, four wins, zero losses, two draws. And I thought last night, well, now
where's River come, played from? Are they Argentinian?
Buenos Aires, yeah, Argentina. So last night, Scott, Botafogo playing against, you know, the Brazilian team, playing against
like
PS.
Pogo de Chao, the Brazilian steakhouse?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, the Brazilian steak. They love their steaks in Brazil and Argentina. Well, you're a big steak guy.
Chow. I got one everywhere. Well, you can eat beef.
But I was going to say, they beat Paris Saint-Germain last night. Like, PSG what? Lost last night. Yeah, yeah, the Brazilian team, PSG lost last night 1-0 at the Rose Bowl, bro.
They deserve it.
This tournament's getting real, and now you got Chelsea, who kind of, you know, they were kind of sloppy against LAFC, but they won the game. They were kind of lucky to win the game. LAFC were actually the better team.
What's the story about the guy, the forklift driver from Auckland, New Zealand, and his team? They're giving Benfica problems today.
Dude, I got to tell you, if Benfica, like, don't win this game 6-0, they're better off not going back to Lisbon after.
Don't go home.
And we've just restarted this. This is one of, you know, this, dude, the plane tickets. How about this? The plane tickets for the team to fly to America, Scott, cost more than their entire payroll of their team.
Is the guy really a forklift driver and he got fired for going
He
to
really
the
literally is a forklift driver at a factory, and he told them, hey, you know, I play on a weekend soccer team and we actually qualified. And the crazy thing is Bayern Munich was his favorite team, Scott, right? In real life. And they played Bayern Munich. So he told his boss, I'm playing against Bayern Munich. Yeah, 10-0. You know, it was sort of like Angola versus the Dream Team. They were getting pictures with Bayern after and stuff. Right. You know what I mean? Hey, like, can I get your jersey, bro? What an honor to play against you. But the German guys, Scott, they're ruthless, eh? They asked the dude after, did you feel bad playing and it was 10-0? He goes, no, why would I feel bad for them? No.
So what about the Dodgers and Padres fight last night and the managers, Roberts and Schill?
Both managers talk too much, and they both know better. You know baseball. They both know better. Managers, people do not tell pitchers to hit people. They do it on their own. The managers have no control of this. So, like, you know, Schilt's sitting there thinking, oh, the Roberts is calling it and back and forth. Listen, San Diego talk a lot of that.
Flamengo scored again.
You got it. Wow. The Brazilians, unbelievable. It's unbelievable on the corner kick.
So how do you think the Dodgers will do coming off the fight, going to D.C., kick the Nats' ass all weekend, Ohtani pitching Sunday?
Yeah, you know what? They've struggled in the past against Washington on the East Coast. Keep your eye on that. But I think the Dodgers take two or three.
The Nationals are awful. They're landfill trash. They're so bad.
They really are bad. Even the Rockies beat them.
I mean, they are terrible. All right, have a great weekend, Dave.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High. Let's go back to last night in Indianapolis and relive it.
Yeah, let's go back and relive it as we will now have a Game 7 on Sunday night. Pacers beat the Thunder 108-91 to even the series up. It was a second quarter run by the Pacers that really put this game away. They were all falling down for him on ABC ESPN.
Halliburton. Caruso chasing him. Halliburton finds a spot, launches, and hits long three-pointer from Halliburton. Jalen Williams, 16 points, throws it away. Halliburton comes out with it. Cross-court, Siakam for the slam! Siakam, falling away, puts it in at the buzzer!
So, I just thought there were so many things that stood out to me in this game, Mike. The assists, 23-14. The steals, 16-4. 21 turnovers for the Thunder, and it's goodnight, Irene. I mean, honestly, it was just ridiculous because they really, they only out-rebounded them by six. They actually, the Thunder shot better from the line, way better, 80-68%. And they you know, they shot better from three, the Pacers, 35% to 26% for the Thunder. The Thunder were 8 of 30 from deep, and that is just putrid. But overall, the Thunder shot almost 42% from the floor, and the Pacers were 41%. So, they, you know, 41-9 to 41-3, the Thunder actually shot better from the floor, but their outside shooting was so negligent. It was just so awful. Their shots that they were taking were just bad looks. And, you know, you combine that with all the steals and the turnovers and the transition buckets they got off of those turnovers and steals. It was lights out. And then the fact that they quit. I mean, Carlisle said, you know, let's bury him. And I thought Dagno said, let's go home and win it. And he pulled him off the floor, and that was the end of him.
Yeah, you didn't see many of the Oklahoma City regulars in the second half. Really, by the middle of the third quarter, they were shutting it down pretty much after that. I thought the biggest thing was the Pacers got contributions from everybody. Like, I think you brought it up in the open. You get 20 from Toppin. Obviously, McConnell with the 12. Nebhard had 17. Naismith with 10. And Naismith had two threes during that run in the second quarter. You heard one of them there in the clip we just played. And honestly, I know it doesn't sound like a lot for Halliburton, Scotty, with 14, but considering you had really no idea what you were going to get out of him last night, getting the 14 that they did, and that could have been more. Remember, that was probably the biggest thing of them blowing him out, was that it allowed Carlisle to not play Halliburton for the last quarter and a half of the game and just continue to get him more rested up for Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I didn't expect even 14 from him, but he had, you know, three threes, and they were all the things that he wasn't able to do in game five. They were the get space, step back threes that he launches with the, you know, high arch and teardrop splash, and they were all splash. He hit three of them. So, you know, nine of his points were from deep, and then he ended up with, you know, a couple more field goals. I thought for what he had to deal with his calf, that, you know, you have to admit he played well. But I still go back to TJ McConnell and Toppin. Toppin did it in 23 minutes, and he added six rebounds. And McConnell, what he did, that, you know, having nine rebounds and you're 6'1", that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing to the Thunder, that little dude. And not only was he getting them, he was getting them under the basket. Not like long rebounds that you see guards get, right? Those bad shot iron rebounds that kick out 7 feet and the guy's just standing in the lane and gets it and runs. These were actual rebounds near the basket. And I thought that he has just been phenomenal. I don't know anything about his contract status, but I know that he deserves more money. I mean, they got to love this guy in Indianapolis. This guy, McConnell, he's something else. He's all out on every play, every minute. And he had the steals going again last night, the whole deal. He just comes in the game, and he is a spark plug, you know, immediately.
He is signed for the next 4 years at about a $10 million cap hit, which for the NBA, as you know, is kind of a discount. I know $10 million per season sounds like a lot, but in the NBA – it's actually on the lower side of things. 4 years, $44 million through 2029.
Well, for a 6'1 guy that nobody cares about, he's become a household name now in the NBA finals and in the playoffs, and he's going to make $40 million over the next 4 years, and he's set for life. And I think he deserves more than $40 million, but they got him right where they want him. But if I were them, seriously, no joke, I would keep him around because he is something else. I mean, I can't fathom how good he's been. I agree with Gabe that Siakam will get the MVP, but I got to tell you, for my money, the most important player for the Pacers in this series has been TJ McConnell.
He has, and it is amazing. Like, he like kind of just like sneaks around the baseline and grabs those boards. It's like they don't see him coming around, and he just kind of slithers his way into the paint.
And shoots in front of 7-footers' faces and makes them.
It's
he just keeps
it
going
really
left
is.
And right, left and right, left and right. You don't know what he's going to do because he's so fast that and his handle's so quick from side to side, and the defender's like wobbling, and then he just sticks it right in their face. And every time you shoot, you think he's going to miss, and he never does.
Never misses. It's amazing. So here's how we got here. Look at this. All the six games. We've had some good ones here. Of course, remember that 111-110 first game? Oklahoma City blew him out in the second game. Pacers took game three at home. Thunder had that fourth quarter comeback in game four. Thunder took care of business in five, and the Pacers take care of business at home in six. And that is the road that gets us to Sunday.
So, like, look at the one game. Like, that, the one game that stands out to me is game two, 120-107. Now, you need a buck to hit your ticket because you'll get all seven games over 100 for the Pacers. And I think the Thunder put a buck 20 on them. I think the 120-107 sounds about right to me. And it would go over to 115.5. They're gonna, in some capacity or another, I just feel like, you know, you look at the 20 years, 14-5. Here we go, number 20. I think the Thunder are very difficult to beat there. When they beat them by one. It's going to take a miracle, I think, to beat them again there. And they beat them by one. I don't see that happening again, to be honest with you. I think the Thunder finish them off. And since you need that buck, I say 120-107 is where we're going again.
Yeah, that would be actually be the best thing for me at this point. That's the one, like, series-long future that I've kind of got in there that can come home with Pacers to score 100 in every game. So, as long as they get to 100,
I think it might actually go more like 217 than 227, because the bottom line is if the number's 215 and a hook, it's there for a reason. And in the game seven, I guarantee you the sports book has it right where it's going to be. And it's either going to land at 215 or 216. And then you're either going to cover by a hook or you're not. So I think 216 or 217 is the number that we're going to land at if it goes over.
We'll come back and start to hear from some of the particulars from last night, of course, as they get ready for Sunday. I will tell you, Rory's having a rough day here. He just hit the brat stand over on the left side of the ninth green.
Johnson Mill brats.
Coming in. Oh, they had a big brat stand. It's right along the road there on the ninth hole at the Travelers. And your boy Rory just he woke up a few people who were online for brats over there on the left-hand side of that hole. So not a good scene, especially on a nice summer Friday. Like, they're probably having them at the Businessman Special too out at Wrigley. There's probably a lot of brats being had out there today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So everybody here at Sports Grid and Coast to Coast, all of our guys on the show and Carver High, obviously, Mafia, Luke, everyone that works on the show ever, filling in, guys producing, whatever, guys at the network, everyone thinking about Dave Sharapan today. Obviously, he announced that he had cancer, and we as a whole stand up for the sportsbook consigliere. We stand up for Dave, and we fight the fight with him. Cancer sucks, and we hope that Dave and his family are okay and that he kicks cancer's ass. And I know that Dave and I spoke, and I know Carver High and Dave spoke very briefly today on the phone in Vegas. And I know that he's got some big things coming up here in regards to dealing with it, with surgeries, etc. And our thoughts and love and prayers and our fight is his fight. We stand up for him and his family in this difficult time. So we're all thinking about Dave Sharapan, certainly Matt Perrault and Scott Wetzel, who he does in-game live with, and everyone at the network. We love you, Dave, and we're behind you 5,000,000%, and we know you'll beat the odds.
Absolutely. Well said, indeed. All the best to Dave and his family. And he's a fighter. He will absolutely get it done. All right. Let's hear from some of these guys from last night. We know that we now have a game seven on Sunday. SGA, of course, very big spot for him. He did sum up the Thunder performance last night in game number six as well?
The way I see it is we suck tonight. We have to learn the lessons. And we have one game for everything we've worked for. And so do they. And the better team Sunday will win.
Well, there you have it. I guess that summed it up. Oh, Flamingo again. And Chelsea is going to get the dagger in the chest in the 82nd minute. They're down a pair. The Brazilians are going to make the $2 million.
Wow. How about that, Flamingo? They're out at Philly against Chelsea. But like
Can
I say, this
go
is...
go throw bread at the Flamingos at the Flamingo in Vegas together and go to the... remember the... What was the steakhouse in there? Cut Above or something? We used to go there.
Oh, that's where your buddy worked there.
And then we threw the bread at the Flamingos, and the guy told us, stop throwing food to the Flamingos. And then I gave him some weed. Are we on the air? Don't talk about
dinner there.
Flamingos reefer.
We had dinner there for my bachelor party that trip.
It's a good spot.
Center Cut, I think it might have been called. Center Cut is where he used to work. That place
was
right
good.
SGA in closeout games. 30.
Carver Steak is better at the resorts, though. Carver Steak's way better. That's where I saw Mark Davis getting surrounded by 12 hookers. That was fantastic. The steak there was way better, but the price was way more than the Center Cut.
I would bet that it's probably a little
bit pricier. I like Carver Steak better, though. That's one of my favorite plays in Carver Steak.
I don't blame you for that. 30 points a game, 5 rebounds a game, 5 assists a game, 1.5 steals on 55-50% shooting. This is one of these moments, Scotty, right? You talk about wanting to be put in the on the level of some of the greats of the game. He's won the MVP this year in the regular season, got a chance to win the MVP of the finals. You know, you talk about winning that first championship. Imagine doing a huge performance in a game 7. Big spot for SGA on Sunday night, honestly.
I think he'll take advantage of it. My guess is he's going to go rocks off. And I think the Pacers have really 2 jobs. Make it 3. 1, Shea. 2, J-Dub. 3, the boards. And I don't believe they can out-rebound the Thunder in the Paycom.
Yeah, I don't believe that they can out-rebound them there either. I think that that's the spot where the Thunder have to take advantage in there.
It'll be Pacer turnover is what it'll be. Just like it was last night for the Thunder. Get ready for Pacer turnover Sunday night.
Yep. Here is Mark Deneau. Of course, the Thunder need to wash away last night. And just like SGA, get ready for Sunday.
We have the same opportunity Indiana does on Sunday. Score will be 0-0 when the ball goes up in the air. It's a privilege to play in Game 7s. It's a privilege to play in the finals. As disappointing as tonight was, we're grateful for the opportunity. And we put in a lot of work this season to be able to play that game at home, you know, which is exciting to be able to do it in front of our fans. So, you know, obviously disappointed tonight, but we'll regroup, get back to zero, learn from it with clear eyes like we always do, get ourselves as ready as we can be to play Game 7 on Sunday.
So you're going to sit here and tell me that that's not a crooked bowl haircut right there? Honestly, let's talk about what's important here.
Yeah, that's just important. I don't disagree.
It's a little like he's got a little cut in the middle, like he got that.
You know, maybe
he got that
he's
up tight, but
maybe he's going a little lower this way. Maybe he's hiding some areas of concern, and he's just trying to go. He's trying to go low on this side.
Those are parking spots. We call those.
Yeah, that could be what he's doing. but, you know, it's. You know, we don't get the overhead view, so we're not exactly sure what he's dealing with there, but that might be what it is.
We're going to look into
it. Yeah, we got to get somebody on the case.
Investigate it.
But, and look, he's him and this team, they lose this game on Sunday night at home. I don't think they're going to. You don't think they're going to. But losing after a 68-win season and all that, as we've said a few times, all goes down the drain. All that great year that you have means nothing.
Like, seriously, you obviously need the Pacers to score 100. Are you rooting for the Pacers to win Game 7? You are.
I know. When I don't have a dog in the fight, usually I like to root for whoever the underdog is. So I would probably root for Indiana. I don't think they're going to win, but I'll probably find myself rooting for them on Sunday night. As long as they score 100 points. That's all that matters to me. Whatever happens after that.
Would it be something if they did it? Like, my son's a huge Thunder fan, and he's going to sit there and watch them. If they don't win, he's going to be tripping.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, what did your boy the Hollybon have to say?
Yeah, let's hear from Tyrese Halliburton. Of course, he looked, honestly, in my eyes, pretty good, considering all the stuff we heard for 48 hours about how injured he was. He's excited for game number 7.
It's exciting, man. It's so, so exciting. As a basketball fan, there's nothing like a game 7. There's nothing like a game 7 in the NBA Finals. Dreamed of being in this situation my whole life, you know, so to be here is really exciting for me and our group. And, you know, like I said, what's happened in the past doesn't matter. What happened today doesn't matter. You know, it's all about one game, you know, and approaching that the right way. So everybody's got to take care of their bodies. Good couple film sessions, you know, good preparation, you know, to get ready for that, and let the cards fall where they may. You know, it's already written. You know, we've worked our tails off to get here, and you know, just gotta trust the work that we've put in. And yeah, man, I wouldn't want to go to battle with any other guys. So I'm really excited about it.
Well, let's dance. I mean, like, I think it's time to, you know, really get over all the talk and just get it on. Like, there's nothing else to say. That's why I was joking about the dude's haircut. Because we can make fun of my hair easily. And Carver High got cleaned up nice and tight this week. He looks fantastic. But I don't want to talk about this anymore. The, you know, who's going to win? Like, it's just gotten so stale. And I think it's because the NBA spreads this out so much that they've dragged it into this, like, it's boredom now. Listening to these guys tell you what's going to happen. In the next game. There's only one more game. Let's just get it on.
I am thankful that at least it's this weekend. Like, when we come back on Monday, it's over. Right?
I mean,
like,
honestly, we don't have,
it doesn't get dragged out any further.
The draft in summer league.
I mean, round one of the draft's Wednesday. Like, it's Wednesday night, and it's the first round of the draft. So they're going to play game 7 Sunday night. And then, like, 72 hours later, they're going to be announcing Cooper Flagg to the Mavericks, getting it going. So at least they move the offseason along quickly. They stretch out the playoffs for, I mean, 2+ full months of
I know.
This. It's just,
but thank
it is
God,
forever.
Because, you know, honestly, I love it. The Stanley Cup and the NBA is a 2-month drama. It's a saga. It's a story. It's every night. And we just go through this litany of, every day, the stress of these games and the bets, like the betting that we've been going through. Like, I don't think I've ever had a better Stanley Cup Finals in terms of betting. And I don't think I've ever had a better NBA Finals in terms of betting, hitting bets and hitting props. So it's 2 months of that. And I think it's fantastic. Like, if the NCAA tournament could be 2 months, I would take it, because that's 3 weeks and it is, like, better than sex. And then you go right into this, the Stanley Cup and the NBA. So I don't have a problem with it. You know, when you hit a wall is when it ends. And then all you're left with basically is baseball and golf and then, like, tennis with Wimbledon, et cetera. And then NFL training camp to me is like picking your nose.
It is torture. Like, there's you're just, you know, as we say every year,
preseason
all we're
sucks.
Doing – all we're doing in August is for the NFL is just waiting for guys to get injured. That's really
That's
all
right.
that it is guys getting hurt.
And making bad bets.
Preseason games and in joint practices and watching guys get hurt and all of those
betting
things.
On
That's
the forklift driver.
The forklift driver.
In a preseason right, so game. Like the NFL, the game in Canton sucks too.
We'll let Rick Carlisle get the last word of the weekend before we give you all the numbers at the top of the hour. Here's Rick.
One game. I mean, this is what it's all about. I mean, this is, you know, this is what you dream about growing up, this kind of opportunity. It's a very difficult place to play. We know that. But You know, this is the opportunity to play in a game like this is a great honor and a great privilege.
Yeah, wow. It's just such an honor, and I'm sick and tired of hearing about it. I really am. I just want to see it happen. I said to someone today, I'm like, Sunday night, let's go. I mean, here it is. I know what I'm doing Sunday night. I'm watching a game seven, and that's all that matters in sports is game seven. So, you know, it's fantastic. Let's get it on.
Two-run homer for Mitch Garver for the Mariners. 4-4. Mitch Garver with a two-run shot that is now tied at fours in the top of the sixth at Wrigley on a Friday afternoon.
What?